In a famous argument, the logician W.V. Quine showed that there exist families of logically consistent interpretations and theories that can match a given series of facts. Such insight should warn us that mere absence of nonsense may not be sufficient to make something true. Quine's problem is related to his finding difficulty in translating statements between languages, simply because one could interpret any sentence in an infinity of ways. Note here that someone splitting hairs could find a self-canceling aspect to Quine's own writing. I wonder how he expects us to understand this very point in a non-infinity of ways. This does not mean that we cannot talk about causes. There are ways to escape the narrative fallacy. How? By making conjectures and running experiments. Or, as we will see in part two, alas, by making testable predictions. Such tests avoid both the narrative fallacy and much of the confirmation bias, since testers are obliged to take into account the failures as well as the successes of their experiments. The psychology experiments I am discussing here make testable predictions. They select a population and run a test. The results should hold in Tennessee, in China, even in France. Narrative and therapy. If narrativity causes us to see past events as more predictable, more expected, and less random than they actually were, then we should be able to make it work for us as therapy against some of the stings of randomness. Say some unpleasant event, such as a car accident for which you feel indirectly responsible, leaves you with a bad, lingering aftertaste. You are tortured by the thought that you caused injuries to your passengers. You are continuously aware that you could have avoided the accident. Your mind keeps playing alternative scenarios branching out of a main tree. If you didn't wake up 3 minutes later than usual, you would have avoided the car accident. It wasn't your intention to injure your passengers, yet your mind is inhabited with remorse and guilt. People in professions with high randomness, such as in the markets, can suffer more than their share of the toxic effect of look-back stings. I should have sold my portfolio at the top. I could have bought that stock years ago for pennies, and I'd now be driving a pink convertible, etc. If you are a professional, you can feel that you made a mistake, or worse, that mistakes were made when you failed to do the equivalent of buying the winning lottery ticket for your investors, and feel the need to apologize for your reckless investment strategy, that is, what seems reckless in retrospect. How can you get rid of such a persistent throb? Don't try to willingly avoid thinking about it. This will almost surely backfire. A more appropriate solution is to make the event appear more unavoidable. Hey, it was bound to take place, and it seems futile to agonize over it. How can you do so? Well, with a narrative. Patients who spend 15 minutes every day writing an account of their daily troubles feel indeed better about what has befallen them. You feel less guilty for not having avoided certain events. You feel less responsible for it. Things appear as if they were bound to happen. If you work in a randomness-laden profession, as we see, you're likely to suffer burnout effects from that constant second-guessing of your past actions in terms of what played out subsequently. Keeping a diary is the least you can do in these circumstances.